Eads has written extensively for the New York Times the past 8 years. He's in their city section, where he covered public health, local politics, art, culture, all kinds of stuff. He's written for a number of national magazines, currently writes on the Huffington Post. He wrote the bestseller Evidence of Harm, which came from a phrase employed by the CDC, I believe, when they suggested that there was no causal link between thimerosal and autism, that they couldn't find any evidence of harm, which, as Mr. Kirby pointed out, is in a great book. That's 180 degrees from saying that it's safe. Anyway, please welcome to the program David Kirby. Good morning, Mr. Kirby.
Hi, Mr. Imus. How are you?
I'm fine, baby. How are you doing?
I'm good. I'm so happy to be back on your show. It was exactly 3 years ago when you and Deidre really started bringing this to people's attention, and boy, talk about Groundhog's Day. It just seems like we're beating the same issues all over again without getting anywhere.
Well, it's kind of amusing to me to, after Senator McCain said what he said in Texas, which I'll ask you about in a second, to see my name employed in a couple of columns, a couple of accounts blaming me for influencing him when I've never said anything of the kind, but I have my own suspicions. But anyway, what exactly did Senator McCain say now?
Senator McCain said he was asked a question by a woman in Texas referring to this big court case that was just conceded, in which the government said that a girl's vaccine injuries led to and resulted in an ultimate diagnosis of autism. And she asked him about that, and he, to just about everyone's surprise, said he believed that there was strong scientific evidence to implicate this vaccine ingredient called thimerosal in the rise of the numbers of cases. He said that the rise of cases was indisputable, meaning it's not just better diagnosis. We have more autism in America today than we had 10 or 15 years ago. He's trying to figure out what's going on. He recognizes this as a national emergency. And it may not be the mercury in the vaccines. It may not be the vaccines at all. But until we get to the bottom of this, it's refreshing, to say the least, to hear a politician out there talking about what a lot of other people are talking about. And at some point, if you want to get into some of the studies that have been coming out, McCain, who has been blasted in the last 24 hours, taking more incoming than I've received in 5 years in 24 hours, He is referring to actual studies that have actually been published by very top-flight scientists, and he has a very good medical and science staff. He would not have made this statement flippantly, and it didn't come out of a vacuum.
So there is my next question is going to be, and I'll ask it now, there is scientific evidence out there suggesting that there is a definitive link?
There is lots of science evidence that, taken together, might suggest a link or might suggest a mechanism. My position has always been that this is not proven one way or other. Yes, there is evidence to refute. There is more and more new evidence every day to support this theory. People who oppose it think that this is over, and I think it would serve them well to take a minute or two, go back to PubMed, look at the studies that did not appear in the New York Times or on ABC News. We get some filtered information in this country, and I frankly don't blame people for thinking that this is bunk and baloney and proven and over and done with, and anybody who even brings it up is crazy, because they have not been given access to the studies. The American people have not been given all the information that they need. They need to go out and find it. It's there. Look at the brain studies of people with autism from Harvard and Johns Hopkins. They're presenting with oxidative stress and heavy metals and mercury in the brain. Look at the new study in child neurology, where they went back and looked at a previous study, and lo and behold, found that children with autism do have higher levels of mercury in their blood. A mistake was made in the original calculating. And then some of these mitochondrial studies that have just come out and are coming out, which are very germane to this court case. You know, it all starts to fall into place, and it is hard science, and it is peer-reviewed, and people are willfully ignoring it, some of them. They know it's out there, but they won't look at it. Most of the people online who are saying that John McCain is crazy and Don Imus is crazy and David Kirby is crazy have not bothered to read those studies. And it's frustrating, because you want to have a scientific discussion, but you're talking to people who only have half the picture.
Talking with David Kirby here on the I'm Somebody program on the radio all over the country and on RFD TV in an effort to get the audience to kill themselves.
It's too early for that, Don.
You know, well, then why the vaccine manufacturers claim they took thimerosal out of the vaccines when? Most vaccines, not the flu vaccines, but most vaccines.
Yeah, well, the media reports that all mercury came out of all shots in 2001. Nothing could be further than the truth.
What is the truth?
Well, we don't know, and the government won't tell us. We know that the last lot of
mercury... Why won't the vaccine manufacturers tell us?
They don't have to.
Okay.
There was a transition period from 2001...
No, that's my position, too, by the way, when people ask me stuff. If I don't have to tell them, I don't tell them. Anyway, go ahead.
It's often in one's interest.
Yeah.
They stopped making mercury-containing vaccine right around the end of 2001. Now, this stuff goes and gets shipped into warehouses. Then it gets put into the pipeline. Then it gets its date stamp, its expiration date, is the day it leaves the warehouse. They stocked up on mercury-containing vaccine as they were transitioning into the mercury-free formula. So those years, 2000, 2001, 2003, I'm quite certain into 2004, a lot of this stuff was still sitting on the shelves. In the meantime, we started giving the flu shot to pregnant women and to infant children, which still contains the full amount of mercury. We never hit zero, and now we're back up. If a woman gets the flu shot as pregnant and the fetus will be exposed to that, then the child gets another flu shot at 6 months, 7 months, 18 months. In those 18 months, with all the other mercury, residual mercury and some of the other shots, that child is getting about 85 micrograms of mercury total exposure, which is, yes, much less than it used to be, but we're not at zero. And again, the mitochondrial disease, at least for a subset of these kids, given that they have that disease, they might be so sensitive to any amount of mercury or any toxin that it could set them over the edge.
And then there's and these vaccines, whether the mercury is used as a preservative or not in them, a trace amount of mercury is used in the manufacture of all vaccines, right?
That's correct. So there's about a half a microgram in most of the shots that these kids are getting. That's very, very little in and of itself.
Yeah, but, you know.
But the point is, if you do have some type of allergic problem with this stuff, or if you do have an inability to excrete it, it will accumulate in your body. I think the evidence is pointing out beyond just mercury, beyond just thimerosal, I believe there are several things in our environment that can trigger several different types of conditions and predispositions that ultimately manifest in symptoms that we diagnose as autism. Whether it truly is classic autism or not, if it's your kid, you don't really care.
Yeah, what are they?
It's the same thing, but it may be that because of genetics, because of mitochondrial health, in other words, cellular energy, because of a pre-existing autoimmune condition, an allergic condition, given any set of those conditions, and then getting any set of triggers, mercury and vaccines, the number and type of vaccines we're giving now, pollution in the air, pesticides, flame retardants, or even just viruses, perhaps. If a kid is set up for regression, whatever gets there first, kind of, and I'm talking hypothetically now, but whatever gets there first may set off the regression. In most cases in this country, that insult came in the form of a vaccine.
You know what I've never understood? We're talking with David Kirby, the author of Evidence of Harm here in the I'm Smart program, is when they warn people, and particularly pregnant women, not to eat. They did this here in New Jersey, or over in New Jersey, a while back, to not eat fish because of the extraordinarily high levels of mercury that they found in the fish. In fact, New York Times did a study, went around these sushi joints, and they found an insane level of mercury in these various fish. And it's my understanding that the form of mercury in fish is not as lethal as the form of mercury in, say, vaccines. So what has never made sense to me is if they don't want you to eat a less lethal form of mercury that's in the little fish, but they think it's okay or there's no evidence of harm or they think, in fact, it's fine to inject any amount of mercury into the bloodstream of an infant, just on a common sense level, sounded to me insane.
Well, some people think it is. It's certainly contradictory. That day and the time that they reported the ultra-high levels of mercury in tuna, which means environmental levels in general are going up, they reported on New Jersey, I think, trying to implement mandatory flu vaccine for kids going to school. Anyone should go online right now and look up the flu vaccine and look up the product insert, and it will say, and don't quote me exactly, but something like, this product has not been studied in pregnant women. The reproductive effects are unknown. The impact on the fetus is not known. This product is not indicated for pregnant women unless medically necessary.
Well, now you're not saying, David, nor am I. I know I'm not saying that there is a definitive, absolute, drop-dead link between autism and thimerosal vaccines. What you're saying and what I'm saying is that at some point we need to all reach a definitive scientific determination if in fact that's the case. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely, that's the case.
Well, so why do people then characterize you and others and me, although I'm less of a part of the story than anybody else, but my wife is a big part of the story, and so are you. Why are y'all considered and characterized as being crazy when you're not saying what they're saying you're saying?
If you sat down and read only the studies that these people seem to be reading and ignored the studies that people like me and Deidre and you cite, you would come to the same conclusion that there was no connection. So I think anybody would read those and say, David Kirby's crazy. What's he talking about? People need to do their homework. Listen, I think the biggest problem here, Don, is that we're all operating in a vacuum. This court case that was just conceded is a confidential document. The government does not think that we should be able to see it.
Now, you're talking about the vaccine court, right?
I'm talking about vaccine court. And the family that just won this settlement now has to go back into court and ask permission of the government to talk about what happened to their child.
What did the vaccine court determine?
They determined that this child had an underlying mitochondrial disorder, which produced low cellular energy and was aggravated by her vaccine. She got 9 vaccines in one day, 5 shots, 9 vaccines, and within months regressed into autism. In fact, she was diagnosed with full-blown autism, if you will.
Why haven't we read about that in the New York Times or seen it on the NBC Nightly News?
Well, the New York Times is not particularly interested in this story. There are reporters who are out there this week trying to cover it, but until the pollings get permission from the government to speak, I'm not sure how much coverage it's actually going to get. You know, I love being on your show, Don, but I wish instead of me being here this morning, you had somebody from HHS. Because what we basically have over there is a wall of silence. And why is it not okay to talk about this? Why is this confidential? Exactly whose interests are being protected? If the family says it's perfectly okay to talk about this and they want to talk about this, what interest? Why does the government say we can't talk about this? Those rules are in place to protect the privacy of the family, which has already been waived.
We're out of time. We're going to have to leave it there. But thank you very much. Very informative. And keep pushing, okay?
All right. Thanks for having me on.
You're quite welcome. David Kirby here on the Adams Morning Program. It's 12 minutes to lay on.